Everybody is muted, and so we are going to do communion now. All right, we're recording, are we? Thank you, Lord. Okay, well, Father, as we come to your table, we are so grateful for the provision you made for us on Calvary. And touch our hearts now to receive fresh revelation of your desire for us in breaking bread. Thank you. Well, I had a dream about a week or two ago. God just gives me dreams all the time now. It's one of the main ways he speaks to me, and I would encourage you to ask him for a dream if you need to hear from him in a specific area, because it's just so easy. You just go to sleep and then God talks to you. That's pretty cool. Hey, you know, Jesus says we have not because we ask not. Maybe we don't ask because we don't think he loves us enough to really care for us. The Bible says God gives gifts to his beloved in their sleep. And that's one of the greatest gifts he's given me recently. So anyway, so in my dream, I heard the song, "Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine." It's an old love song. Did that come across okay? Because we don't do music too well on Zoom. Just nod if you could hear the melody. It was all right. You know, Jesus had great longing and desire for his disciples, and he said when he instituted the Last Supper, he said, "With great longing, I have desired this time with you. With great longing, I have desired to have this time with you." And the song is about desire. "Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine." You know, you can tell if somebody loves somebody just by the way they look at them. There's desire in the eyes. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, I believe, this song, "Drink to me the cup. Drink to me only with your eyes. Just look at me. Just take some time to look at me this morning on the cross. And I will pledge with mine." You know, in the Old Testament, all they had to do was look at the snake on the pole that Moses did. He put a bronze snake on a pole. All they had to do was look at it, and they were healed. And Jesus is saying this morning, "Look to me only. Have eyes only for me, and I will pledge to you with mine." God is watching over us. He sees our every need, and he has provided for us through the death of his son. In the Old Testament, when anyone was bitten by a serpent, that's all they did. They just looked at the cross. Jesus said, "This cup is the remission of sins. As often as you drink this cup, you proclaim my death and everything it purchased on your behalf. I made a covenant with you in this cup. Drink to me only with your eyes. Just look to me. One glance of your eyes ignites a flame in mine. One look of desire through the windows of your soul reaffirms between us the seal of my covenant with you in my blood. Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine." Jesus is reaffirming his covenant with us this morning as we look to him. Let's partake of the emblems now. Let's spend a moment just looking to Jesus. Amen. Well, we serve a wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to finish off my series on praying in tongues now. This will be our last session on this particular subject. And I believe it has been of great value to us if we've taken it to heart. There are some truths here that are so liberating. I'll just do a quick summary of what we've covered so far. In Mark 11, Jesus talked about the signs that will accompany those who believe, and speaking in tongues was one of them. You should have a sign pointing to you that says you are a believer. That sign is praying in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the baptism of tongues. It's not just an infilling of the Spirit without the ability to pray in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the baptism of tongues. And it's a different experience from the new birth. Paul said, do not forbid speaking in tongues. There are still some fragments of the body of Christ that believe that speaking in tongues is of the devil and is not for today. And I have produced a tract for you to go over and affirm why tongues is vitally important for us today, and to help you, discuss with other people who may have a problem with that. It's Lynn, darling. Thank you. Receiving the gift of tongues is the promise that Jesus told his disciples to wait for. Praying in tongues is essential for fulfilling the call of God on your life. Jesus said, don't try and do anything for the kingdom of God without first getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And so, praying in tongues helps us do things by the Spirit. Today, especially, it's so important that we get it in God by the Spirit. There's so much happening in the church today. If the Holy Spirit left, 90% of what the body of Christ is doing would just carry on as normal. We need to get it in God. Jesus said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We really want to birth something by the Spirit and not something by man's carnal methods. We don't want the Christian equivalent of the Rotary Club, do we? We want something supernatural. A lot of Christians don't want the supernatural. They want something they can understand, something they can control, something that doesn't mess with their nice, comfortable Christian religion. They just want enough of God to get them to heaven and make them feel blessed. But beyond that, please don't mess. Please don't mess with my life. Don't let any of that wildfire stuff get on me. It just messes up my life. Well, sorry, God didn't come. God didn't send the Holy Spirit to make you feel comfortable. He's your comforter. He's your comforter. But he didn't come to make you feel comfortable. There is a difference. He came to mess up your life because it needs messing up. Sorry. Sometimes it's not comfortable to have the Holy Ghost in a meeting. Sometimes it's not comfortable to have the Holy Spirit try and straighten out some areas of your life. But it's wonderful when God does mess with your life. So I encourage you to embrace the Holy Spirit and allow him to pray through you and make some changes. You'll be glad he did. Praying in tongues is the doorway to the other spiritual gifts. If you want to move in the word of knowledge, if you want to move in the gift of faith, if you want to prophesy, be faithful with what you've already been given. Who will give you that which is another man's unless you're faithful with what you've already been given? Why would God give you more if you're not faithful with what he's already given you? So if you want to pray in tongues, then expect the gift of prophecy to come your way. Expect the gift of healing. Expect the spirit of faith to come upon you in a greater measure. Because praying in tongues opens the door to all these other spiritual gifts. Romans 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit was sent, among other things, to help us pray. Jesus taught us how to pray, but then Romans 8 tells us we still don't know how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a wonderful prayer, but there's an even greater way to pray, and that's to pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Now, when we pray in tongues, we don't speak to men, we speak to God, and the Bible says we speak mysteries. We're praying out the mysteries of our life. We're praying out the mysteries of that problem. We're praying out the mysteries of that circumstance that confronts us. And it's a mystery to us, but when we pray in tongues, we're praying out the mystery of that problem. And God always answers his own prayers. It is such a wonderful gift. I encourage you, if you've let it just, you know, drift off into the background a bit, if it's something that you haven't really given yourself to lately, I encourage you to get back into praying in tongues. Jesus said it was expedient for him that he leave us. He said, it's best for you that I go away now. Can you imagine that? He's saying, look, the best thing for you right now is for me to leave. That's a crazy thing to say. Unless he had something better to replace him with. Just imagine that. He said, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I go away, I will be able to send the Holy Spirit. So he sent the Holy Spirit, and he came on the day of Pentecost, and he came with the wonderful gift of being able to pray supernaturally in the power of God to help us. He's our helper. He's our comforter. But there's no point in having a helper if you don't let him help you. So people, this is my last sermon. I'm praying in tongues and I'm thumping the table. Come on, people. Help yourself. If you got it, give me a wave if this is making sense to you now. Okay, my last point I want to make is the edification process. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who prays in an unknown tongue, or he who prays in a tongue, edifies himself, builds himself up. How many of you feel like you could do with a bit of encouragement right now? How many of you feel like your faith needs a bit of building up? How many of you feel like you just need something on the inside that just makes you a little bit stronger so that you can face whatever it is you have to face tomorrow? Well, that's what tongues is for. The word edify comes from the Greek word from which we have the word edifice. And it means a massive, magnificent building. He who prays in an unknown tongue builds a massive, magnificent cathedral of faith inside of himself. Remember when we first started the series, I showed you a picture of those wonderful cathedrals that I visited in Europe several years ago, and how I stood in one of those cathedrals and God spoke to me and said, I do not dwell in temples made by hands. Wow, that really spoke to me, because what God was saying is, I have something that I dwell in that is so much more beautiful than what you're looking at right now. We are the temple. No, you're not, that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But God is building that cathedral. And when you pray in tongues, you are erecting a superstructure on the inside of your spirit to house the anointing of God and qualify you for your divine calling. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He who prays in an unknown tongue builds a magnificent structure on the inside of himself to carry the anointing of God. Wow. When you minister to someone, how much anointing do you carry? When you share a scripture or bring a little teaching, how much anointing do you carry? How much of that cathedral of God have you built in your spirit to house the anointing? Toastmasters can help you get over your shyness of public speaking. But I thought that was what the Holy Spirit was for. Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and he was bold. He didn't have a Toastmasters session between betraying Jesus and getting up on the day of Pentecost. He didn't do Toastmasters. He just got the Holy Ghost, and that made all the difference. I don't want someone's little Toastmaster speech. I want to hear from heaven. I don't know about you. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. We're building a mighty cathedral on the inside, praying in the Holy Ghost. Bible says faith comes by hearing, but it's a special kind of hearing. It's a hearing of the eyes. Ephesians says, Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I pray the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. These things are spiritually discerned, that you may know what are the riches of the inheritance, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Tongues is a revelatory gift that opens up the mysteries of the kingdom. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Wow. He will have whatever he says. You mean I can want something and say something and it becomes mine? Well, that's what Jesus said. It's one thing to want something. It's another thing to say something. And it's another thing to get it. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you pray when you ask when you pray, believe that you have received and you will have taken. Now, what I said there is a more accurate translation of what we have in the scriptures. Believe that you have received, and the Bible says you will have received it. But the Greek word is lambano, which implies a self-prompted taking. Believe that you have received, and you will have taken it to yourself. Some people pray, oh Lord, if it be thy will, da 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 da. Those prayers never get answered, because you're not taking anything. Today we're on Zoom. We're not at the Fickling Center. We're on Zoom. But you know, we're lucky to have the Fickling Center. We're lucky to have it at all. Because 30 years ago when I went there and asked the lady behind the desk if I could have the Fickling Center for some church meetings, she said no. Now, we don't give this to churches. I said, okay. I was a bit surprised, but I went home. But then I did some talking to the mountain. Jesus has given us a key. We've been delivered from what dominates us in this life, but it's according to our faith. Jesus said, if you say to a mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received, and you will have taken it. So, you know, I spent a week praying in tongues. I spent a week building my faith. I spent a week praying out the mystery of why the Fickling Center was not available for churches. That didn't seem right to me. Every other organization can make use of the Fickling Center. Why can't churches use the Fickling Center? I prayed the mystery out in tongues. And then I went and saw the lady again, and I spoke to the mountain. I said, I want this Fickling Center every Sunday morning from my church, which I'm about to start. I spoke to the mountain. She handed me a piece of paper and said, here, sign this before I change my mind. Now, I didn't go there pleading. I didn't go there asking for some sort of special permission. I spoke to the mountain, and I went there and I took the Fickling Center because by faith I'd already taken it in prayer. It was mine. It belonged to me. There was no question about whether I should have it or not. It was mine. I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received and you will have taken it to yourself. And that's the gift that Jesus has given us in prayer. That if we do not doubt in our heart, if we believe, we will have whatever we ask. But you see, the key is in not doubting. The condition that must be met here is that I do not doubt in my heart. We're standing in front of a mountain of problems. I don't know what your mountain is right now, but I'm sure you've got a few. I've still got mountains. Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." He was 80 years old and he still had mountains in his life. Give me this mountain. Can you say that? Give me this mountain. Well, Jesus is saying, all you have to do is speak to it and it's yours. But the condition is that I do not doubt in my heart. Well, Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. Ever been there? Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. And Jesus says, okay, here's your help. Here's your helper, the Holy Ghost. He will help you build your faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Build your faith until one day your words will be so charged with the power of God that mountains will move. Faith does not take no for an answer. Asking in faith to see if you get a yes or a no is not faith. All the promises of God are yea and amen. I pray until I get a yes on the inside, and then I talk to the mountain. See, I don't always have faith for something the moment I'm confronted with my mountain. Sometimes I look at a mountain and what faith I did have drains out of me. I thought I had faith till I had a good look at the mountain. Then I had zero faith. Sometimes we can't look at the mountain, you know. Don't look at the problem until you've looked at your faith. Ask yourself, have I got faith to confront this thing or not? There's no point in talking to a mountain to see if your answer is a yes or a no. The only time we look at the mountain is to tell it to move. But before we do that, we've got to know that we have built on the inside of us a cathedral full of faith that no devil can say no to. So why do we pray? Do we pray to move God? No, we pray to build mountain-moving faith on the inside of our hearts. God has already said, ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. We're not twisting God's arm. We're not pleading with God. Just delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. God is not an unwilling giver. The Bible says he's already provided for us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already provided everything that we need in this life. That's already ours. So why do we have to twist his arm to get it from him? He's already given it. The problem is at our end. So we don't pray to move God. We pray to build mountain-moving faith on the inside of our hearts. So how big are we on the inside this morning? You know, you don't erect a cathedral in a day. It takes time to build a cathedral. And sometimes we need to pray for the full assurance of faith. So I might be believing God for something, and I do, kind of, but there's still areas in my heart where I know I'm not 100% convinced. You know, I'm just not 100% sure. I remember I was lying on my bed in Dunedin. I was a teacher at Logan Park High School, and I just felt, I had the flu. I was in bed for about 2 weeks. You know, all things work together for good. God didn't make me sick, but God will make the best out of any deck of cards that's given to him. And because I had nothing else to do but pray, I just spent the whole 2 weeks praying, and I was just praying in tongues, and I just felt calling me, and he's saying, you know, this isn't what I've called you to do. I've called you to be a minister of the gospel. You need to quit that job at Logan Park High School. Well, at first it was just a thought, but after I prayed about it for 2 weeks, I was convinced. I was totally convinced that God was calling me out. So, as soon as I was better, got out of bed, got dressed, went to school, told the principal, I'm quitting. And he said, you're quitting, just like that. And I says, yeah, it was about August or September. And I says, I'm quitting. And he says, well, you need to put it in writing. So I went back to my office in my music room. And I wrote, I quit. And then I signed my name. So as I went back to the principal's office, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I'm going to make you a composer in school. So I'm going to give you a school cert class in music. I thought, where did that come from? I heard this voice. They're going to make you a composer in schools. And I'm going to give you a school cert class. And I handed in my resignation. And then I was just thinking about this. And 2 minutes later, I walked into the staff room and the district senior inspector of secondary schools just happened to be there. She said to me, the principal told me you've just quit. She said, you're too good a man to lose. Let's make you a composer in schools and we'll see if we can give you a part-time school cert class. Now, how does God do that? I didn't even know what composer in schools was. I soon found out. And it was part of the call of God on my life to write beautiful songs for the kingdom. There were people at the university who were really upset because they only give that composer in schools job to people who they handpick, who do certain kinds of music. They didn't want me doing it because they knew I didn't like the sort of music that they were teaching at the university at the time. 20th century atonal Schoenberg, Webern, hitting the piano with a dead fish and calling it music. You know, it's just crazy what the world does. You take God out of anything, it just goes stupid. So, but you know, God had his way. And I had a wonderful time for several years teaching kids composition. But, you know, I possessed something on that day. The ability to believe God for a job. Which is why people come to our church just to get jobs. And they get their job and then they leave. So, not everybody. But that's why I wanted Dave to share his testimony this morning, because I just have that faith. I've built that there's a room in my cathedral off to the side there. Actually, it's a pretty important room. It's not just part of, because everybody needs a job. But I've built an assurance of faith in my heart that God wants you to have a job, and he wants you to have a good job, and he wants you to be satisfied. He wants to fulfill the desires of your heart. But it takes time, you know, to build full assurance for some things. And I can have faith for that. Someone will come up the front after a meeting and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me, I want a job. And the first question I asked them, well, are you going to be faithful with when God gives you a job? You're going to be faithful? You're going to bless the kingdom? You're going to honor him with your giving? And I still believe, and I still think God will give you a job, but I have a lot more confidence if I know you're going to honor God when he gives you a job. And so I have faith for that. But some people come up and they ask me to pray for something, and I think, well, yeah, I've got a measure of faith for that, but I don't have as much faith for that as I do for believing. Because, see, I've possessed an area of my life where I have full assurance. And if you pray in tongues long enough over a certain area, God can fill up your measure of faith for whatever it is you're believing him for. But some things I need to ask God more than once. Elijah went 7 times. He asked his servant to go 7 times to look at the horizon to see for the promise of what he was asking God for. He asked God that it would rain, because Elijah spoke the word, and he said to the king of Israel, he says, it won't rain again except by my word. Wow, that's the power of speaking a word with God's authority. A lot of empty words today, a lot of empty words. We need words that are full of the power of God. We need words that have been birthed in the realm of the Spirit by praying in tongues. Now, Elijah didn't pray in tongues, but he had a relationship with God. So he prayed. The Bible says that he was a man just like us. He had failings just like us. He was weak in many areas. He ran from Jezebel. He was scared, you know, scared of was going to say scared of a woman. He was scared. She was the queen, you know, and she threatened to kill him after he killed all the prophets of Baal. And even this mighty man, this powerful man of faith, he still had weaknesses. You know, one little threat from Jezebel and he took to his heels. But he was a powerful man of God in many other areas. And he prayed that it would not rain except by his word. And then he felt it was time for it to rain again. So he asked God to send the rain. But he had to pray, he had to send his servant seven times. And sometimes we've got to go more than once to get that assurance of faith in our heart. You know, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to speak to your mountain more than once. I said before, you know, that there's no point in talking to your mountain until you hear a big yes on the inside. So that you know you've got that full assurance. But sometimes it's okay to make faith declarations. You know, so you got your mountain in front of you and you just make a faith declaration because that can build your faith. Some mountains are bigger than others, you know. Before David killed a Goliath, he first killed a bear, then he killed a lion, and then he killed Goliath. And probably a little fox or wolf before the bear. So don't go for the biggest problem in your life to build your faith. Celebrate your victories with smaller problems and let your faith grow. There's nothing more demoralizing than facing an enemy you can't beat. So don't let Goliath taunt you. Don't even go out to battle Goliath until you've won a victory over a bear and a lion, because faith grows. It's like a muscle. Take some area of your life and gain the victory over that. You might take two steps forward and one step backwards, but ultimately you'll be moving closer towards your fulfillment of your dream. Your self-talk is everything. In this whole area of building our faith, your self-talk is everything. And I know what it's like to talk to a mountain and then just see it laugh at me. If you're asking God for something and it doesn't happen, sometimes it doesn't build your faith at all, you know. It actually weakens your faith if you're asking God for something and it just laughs at you. I remember somebody said, and I wouldn't make a doctrine out of this, but I remember someone like Norville Hayes saying something like, never ask God for something in prayer you're not 100% convinced is already answered. Don't ask for a prayer. Don't ask for something unless you're 100% convinced that it's answered, that you're going to get it. Build your faith first. And I think there's a point to be made there. So I would encourage people in building faith and in moving mountains in their life to take on something that they know they can move. It's like boxers preparing for a championship fight. Paul talked about boxing. He says, I don't just beat aimlessly. He says, I go for something. I aim for something, and I go for it, like a boxer. But if a trainer is getting somebody ready for a fight, like say you've got this boxer called Joe, for example, okay, and Joe is training. He wants to become the championship boxer of the world, heavyweight title. He wants it. Well, what does his trainer do? Throw him in the ring with the current champion? No, he's just going to get pummeled. He's going to get floored in the first round. He's not ready to take on the championship title. So what does the trainer do? He takes Joe and he gives him all these exercises to do and puts him in the ring with sparring partners and he's punching away there for 6 months. And then he organizes a fight with somebody who is his match. And he's about two or three rungs down the ladder from the championship fighter. And he organizes a fight, and he's pretty sure he's going to beat him. So he organizes this match, and they have this fight. And he beats this contender. And then he feels good because he's had a victory. He knows he's trained. He knows that he's a match for this guy, and he's beat him. And then the trainer says, okay, now the next fight we're going to put you in the ring with is going to be this bloke here, and he's tougher than the first guy that you beat. But, you know, we'll train you for another couple of months, and then you'll be ready for this next guy. So he trains him up for another couple of months, and then he puts him in the ring with this next guy, and he beats him too. And there's another two or three boxers that he matches him up with until one day this guy is ready for the championship title. And he puts him in the ring with the guy who holds the title. And in the 12th round, it's not a knockout, but he wins on points. Yes! Because he had a trainer who took him from one level of faith to the next level of faith. You know, the Holy Ghost is your trainer. And when he thinks you're ready, he'll put you in the ring with that mountain. But until then, maybe there's a few other fights he wants you to have a go at first. So go find yourself a fox. And until foxes listen to you, don't go talking to lions. You know, let's take some examples. Maybe you believe in God for the restoration of a relationship. I've got faith for a text message. Maybe that relationship isn't going to be fully restored. I'm not going to have sweet fellowship and sit around the table and, you know. But I can believe you for a text message, God. I reckon that's where my level of faith is right now. Give me a sign for hope. I need you to build this room in my cathedral in this area of relationships. Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to pray in tongues until you build that level of faith in my life. Yes! I get a text message. All right. Now let's go for a telephone call. You know, you can take that mountain one level at a time. How about in the area of health? Maybe the doctor says, look, you know, you mate, you are one step away from a heart attack. Well, you know, there's so much that's wrong with me. Maybe I can at least believe God for my blood pressure to come down. So you get to work on that. And you do what you need to do health-wise to eat the right kind of foods and do whatever, exercise. But you can really start to pray, God, give me a sign for hope. Let my blood pressure come down 5 points or 10 points and then 20 or whatever, you know, and then get to the place where you know that you have totally beaten that thing. So I hope this has helped you today to realize that the Holy Spirit has been given to us to build in us a cathedral of faith. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up, builds himself up. Do we get to the place where we can become Mark 11:23 Christians, where we can speak to mountains and see them move? I know there's some areas in our lives that need moving right now. We're all facing mountains. I don't know what your mountains are specifically, but you know what they are. And the Holy Spirit has been given to you to help you move that mountain in full assurance of faith. And I've got absolute confidence in the Holy Spirit that when God gave me a helper, he's going to see the job done. God didn't give me a helper to just help me fail or help me get the job half done. God says, I've given you a helper and he's going to see it through to the end. I've begun a good work in you and I'm faithful to perform it to the end. He is faithful to perform to the end that good work which he's begun in you. And whatever that area of your life is, whether it's in the area of relationships, whether it's in the area of work, whether it's in the area of health, your finances, and your emotional state. I know some of us are still suffering from depression and, you know, all these afflictions that come to us, they're part of it just being on the broken side of the rainbow. You know, Elijah was a man, the Bible says he was just like us. But he was a man of faith. But he had failings too. But that doesn't stop us. Our humanity doesn't stop us from becoming who God has intended us to be if we pray in tongues. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I need you to help build my faith. Holy Spirit, you are my trainer. You are my helper. And I am going to pray out the mystery of whatever it is I'm confronted with this day until I am the champion of health, until I am the champion of wealth, till I'm a champion of a sound mind. You're going to take me from one level of faith to the next, from one fight in the ring to another. And you're going to help me train like a boxer until I punch the lights out of this thing and know that I'm standing on my mountain victorious. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have been given to me to help build this cathedral of faith inside of me. You are my helper, the builder of my cathedral. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this time of instruction on, I think, what is one of the most underappreciated aspects of the Christian life. You don't hear it talked about all that much. And of course, if something's never mentioned, well, then it can't be very important, can it? So thank you for being on this journey with me. I think we've had 5 sessions on praying in tongues. And I believe we're going to see some fruit from it. I believe, you know, if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. So praying in tongues is something that God has given us not to be ignored. The Bible says, do not despise prophecy. Don't despise prophecy. Well, if someone has prophesied over you, you despise it if you don't go over it again, if you just ignore it. You know, if someone prophesies over me, I write it out. I write it out. I got a whole volume of pages of prophecies that have been prophesied over me. Every once in a while, I go over them because otherwise I'm despising them. So, you know, we're not supposed to despise prophecy. We're supposed to give ourselves to the prophecies that have come to us. In the same way, we shouldn't despise praying in tongues. We despise it if we don't use it, if we don't pray in tongues. We're despising something that Jesus went to the cross for. He said, it's really important that I leave you, because if I don't, then I won't be able to send the Holy Spirit. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit came the wonderful gift of praying in tongues. So if we don't do it, we don't mean to, but if we don't do it, what we're saying is, well, Jesus, I don't really think it's all that important. sorry, God. I mean, you obviously thought it was important because you sent Jesus so you could send the Holy Spirit so we could pray in tongues. I know you think it's important. You went to a lot of trouble to give me the Holy Spirit, but I actually don't think it's actually all that important. Sorry, God. I know you probably know better than I do, but, you know, I've actually still got my own opinion here, and I just, it doesn't make me feel all that comfortable. And being comfortable is the most important thing. No, you building your faith to the point where you can talk to your mountains and see those things move. That's the most important thing. I want mountain-moving people in my congregation. Would you be one of them? You can turn yourself off mute now and talk to me.
Maybe I've got some questions or something.
Maybe you have some questions.
Or comments.
Don't all talk at once.
My only comment would be, it's very strange that you brought up one of the scriptures I was looking at this morning, which is, God works all things out for good.
Yes.
And there are quite a few here, but I wanted to leave it till tonight for the breakout meeting, because God was talking to me this morning through the Waymaker song. He started speaking to me through it, and I've got quite a collection of scriptures I've got, which I feel to speak out tonight at. But one of them was what you brought through just now.
Okay, good.
It might be good, Darwin,
Very
even
good,
if you
Ray. I
can.
really enjoyed your series.
Darwin, it might be good if you can actually email through those scriptures, because I'll be sending an email to people
Okay.
after lunch today. It'll be good if they had
Okay,
them
yep,
ahead of
awesome. I
time.
will do that.
Okay, be good.
It's all the scriptures are all based on God is working, even though we, like in the song says, even though we don't see it or we don't feel it, God is working. And it's all based, the scriptures are all based on Him doing things and always working in our life.
We've got Felicia with us again this morning. Have you been with us for long, Felicia? I've just only noticed that you've showed up down the bottom there on the screen. It's wonderful to have you with us. She was with us last week too. We enjoyed getting to know her.
Yeah, sorry, I was 20 minutes late. Kid problems. I couldn't join in, so my apologies. But I did listen to most of your message. I joined in at about 10:50, so
That's
yeah,
great.
it's
We
good.
love to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Anyone else got a question or comment they want
Yes, I'd like to comment, Pastor Ray. I like the way you said we are building the cathedral of faith, because I couldn't actually understand about edifice, and now that you explain it, then it's like, oh wow, that is amazing. And it's very clear to me now what we're doing when we speak in tongues. So thank you very much.
Yes. Yes. And remember, a cathedral isn't built in a day.
Yes, of course.
Right.
I wanted to just say that I really appreciate you talking about this key element about coming into faith. So using praying in tongues part to come into faith, and then when we pray and release that faith with our prayer and call it done, like we have received it in the spirit. Like we know that we don't have to go back and keep asking God the same thing over and over again, because it's done in a way. And I think for years, I think I did the Catholic thing of, oh Lord, help us, and all that sort of thing. But coming into this new way of thinking that, you know, you build your faith, you get into agreement with the word, declare the promises and agree with them, and release your faith for it and call it done, and you just stand on that and you just wait. Yeah, hold that position when you, yeah, it's so good. And the Spirit of God works it out. We don't have to know how He will do it, we just know that it is done because we've taken it by faith.
It's coming to a place of full assurance, and praying in
Yes.
tongues helps us do that, because that's
Yes.
praying in tongues builds our faith. It builds the edifice, the cathedral of faith in our heart. The word, the Bible says, the word comes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing
Yes.
the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But Paul prayed that we might have the revelation. I pray that the eyes of your understanding might be open, that you might have a revelation of what it is that the Word of God is promising us. Because you can read a verse in the Bible and you can understand it with your mind, but something hasn't connected in your heart that it is actually yours, that it doesn't actually belong to you in a way that you possess it. And praying in tongues is the revelatory gift that makes the word ours. Praying in tongues is what enables us to possess what the word is saying. And that's when faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You can hear it,
Hearing by the word of God.
you can hear it, but if you don't hear it by the Spirit, if the Holy Ghost isn't giving you the revelation of it, then faith doesn't come. It's just words on a page. And so I think praying in tongues is vitally important to bringing to us the revelation of what the word is saying. Yes, faith comes by hearing the word of God, but by the revelation that the Holy Spirit brings through hearing that particular word. The faith comes by revelation. Faith comes by revelation, and revelation comes when you pray in the Holy Spirit, because these things are spiritually discerned. And if you're not in a place of the Spirit, if you're not stirring up the gift of God by praying in the Holy Spirit, then most of what the Bible says just won't make sense. Anyone else?
Ray, I love what you shared about the mountains. And I feel like God's... I said to God a while ago, I said, I feel like I'm facing Everest. I really feel like he's been showing me, and I don't know whether you guys know this, but on Everest, you start off at the base camp. And
yes.
Like five camps between base camp and the summit.
Right.
And, you know, and I felt like he was saying, he was taking me high. As I'm praying in the spirit, he's taking me to the next camp. And this, you know, there's a lot to go through to get to these camps, and heaps of people die and don't make it, you know. And I don't want to be negative with that, but I mean...
You know, I understand.
But, you know, there's stuff to go through that he's training and equipping and building in the spirit to get you from one camp to the next. And, I mean, I actually Googled and read about the route on Everest between base camp and the summit. And, you know, there's, you go through the Valley of Silence, you go through all these different levels, and it's just been so fascinating, you know. I just feel like you're going higher. As you pray in the spirit, you're going higher. Take that mountain, you know. But there are steps involved, and what you were saying, Ray, about fighting the fox before you fight the bear, before you take on Goliath, really spoke to me. So yeah.
Yes, I think the devil loves to taunt us. I mean, Goliath was taunting the children of Israel. And sometimes our problems taunt us. They mock God. They mock us in our faith, you know. But it's like, well, you know, why do we even have to listen to him? No, I don't have to listen to you until I've killed my fox. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to your taunts until I've killed the bear. And I've killed a lion. And then when I'm ready, when the Holy Spirit knows I'm ready, then I'll go to the battle lines and then I'll listen to your rubbish, Goliath. And then I will take your head from you. You know? But until we're ready, you know, give yourself a break. It's like the cathedral wasn't built in a day. And I love the illustration God gave me about the boxer. You know, no trainer puts his young, untrained, a protege in the ring with the title holder. You know, he's just gonna get pummeled. And something, and the Holy Spirit knows. He knows what we can handle, and he's our trainer, and he's taking us from one level of the fight to the next, from one ring to the next. And like you said, from the base camp to the next level of the mountain. And one day we'll stand on top of the mountain and you'll talk to it, you know? But until then, we've been given a measure of faith, and we're faithful with what we've been given, and we use that. And I often pray, God, give me a sign of hope. Give me something which shows me that my faith is growing. Give me something to see, you know, where I can see results, you know, where I can see that I've matured in this area to this degree. So, well, that's good, Karen. I'm glad you got something out of that. Diane's about to do something, say something.
No? Unmute me. Yes, there I am.
That's good.
Yeah, it was a fantastic message.
Good.
I was totally inspired. I really enjoyed it. I've been praying in tongues probably, I don't know if it's more than usual this year, I'd say. And just kind of in the undercurrents of when I'm reading or when I'm doing the dishes or driving the car, I'm shakarabe, yarabe, sukarabe, just that continual praying in the spirit. as much as I can. And I personally am finding that, you know, how sometimes you think you know something, and then, and you do know it, but then all of a sudden, I have been finding lately that I've been having new revelations or new thoughts and new ideas, or new thoughts on a scripture, or just a brand new thought altogether. And I'm like, wow, I would never have thought of that before. And I put that down to the increase of praying, that I've been praying in the spirit.